happy Independence Day, almost everybody. Like something just dropped, no? Yeah, so the 4th of July is this coming Wednesday, and with that, we celebrate our country's freedom, and we celebrate our freedom, and we celebrate the creation of that Declaration of Independence. And I really think that for us, the 4th of July isn't just a celebration of our country's freedom from British rule, but I think there's really something much more symbolic and much more fundamental about celebrating Independence Day and the 4th of July. Because I think for me, much of that celebration is really about the freedom that we have. The freedom that we have to create the life of our choosing. That means the freedom that we have to work in jobs that we want and where we want and to live where we want and to marry whom we want to marry and to practice whatever religion it is that we want to practice or what spiritual path it is that we want to walk. The right that we have to vote and the right that we have a voice. I think it's a celebration of all of that when we celebrate Independence Day. And that Declaration of Independence that's celebrated this time is really a declaration of human rights. It's a humanitarian document, really. And it says, some of the things that it says is all people are created equal and how grateful we are to stand in that. And it says that we are endowed by our Creator with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And liberty means freedom. We are endowed with that right that cannot be taken away from us for freedom. And we love that. I love that. And so I celebrate, and I think we celebrate, that freedom for us individually and collectively. And I love to celebrate that. I am so grateful for that freedom to choose and to create the life of my choosing. Anybody else happy that you get to choose the life of your own creation, what it is that you want? Absolutely. You know, as human beings, that's something that is inside of all of us. That desire, that want, that need that we have to create the life of our choosing. To create and have things in our life that make us happy and things that bring us joy and things that lead to a really rich and a satisfying life. We all want to have those things. And I know that while we are living in this world, we don't always experience life and the things that are going on in our lives and the things that are going on in the world as things that make us happy or things that make us joyful or things that line up with our preferences and with the way that we would like them to be. Everything doesn't make us happy all the time. Many things happen. Things like maybe you lose a job that you really loved, or you come down with an illness, or possibly that you are having difficulty in a relationship with your spouse or with a parent or with a child or your next-door neighbor. Or maybe the experience is really about not having enough money or not having enough time or enough friends or enough love. And not just do we experience things in our own personal lives that don't make us happy, but we experience things in the world that aren't in alignment with our preferences. Things like inequality, things like people being treated unjustly or unfairly, or the divisiveness that's going on in the political systems of today, bipartisan politics where they can't seem to agree on anything, or how about even bipartisan politics in your own family where you can't find common ground? You know, none of those things line up with our preferences and how we'd really like things to be. And what often happens when those kinds of things are happening in our lives and when those kinds of things are happening in the world is we experience a sense of hopelessness. We experience a sense of helplessness and we feel powerless to change what's going on. Therefore, we feel impotent. And like I said, we feel helpless because we don't know what to do about it or what we can do to about it, what we can do about it. But really, how is it that we can feel hopeless, or how is it that we can feel helpless when we live in this realm, in this field of infinite potential? How can we really feel hopeless when we live in this realm of infinite possibility? that is the nature of life itself. How can we feel hopeless when we live in this universal presence, this thing we call God, the infinite that is not bound by anything? I think the only reason we can feel hopeless and that we can feel helpless is because we forget that God is at the center of whatever that thing is that's making you unhappy. We forget that there is no other power besides God. We forget that that presence is at the center of the situation. We think that what is happening in the world somehow has power over us. But the truth is, what's going on in the world is a result of old causation. And the power exists in this moment of new causation. And that new causation happens within us through our thinking and through our beliefs and through what we put our attention on and where we place our energy. We are the creative, causative factor in this moment. We forget that sometimes. And then we think we're a victim to what's going on out there. And so I'd like to share with you a story by Alan Cohen who speaks to that in a way that I think you'll be able to understand. He says, Dr. William Parker was a psychologist assigned to work with a young man with a long history of drug addiction. The patient showed up with a thick dossier of dire diagnoses and failed treatments. The psychologist, however, did not focus on his patient's addiction. Over the term of the man's treatment, the psychologist kept asking the fellow, "Who are you when you're not an addict? And what did you do this week that was powerful and productive?" Over time, the patient responded to the psychologist's view of him as a strong and healthy person. Eventually, he transformed and dropped his addiction for the first time since entering treatment many years earlier. And he goes on to say, at a weekend workshop, a fellow arrived with his 19-year-old son, whom he introduced to me as a, quote, severe depressive. Then the father went on to describe all of his son's problems in gory detail. I felt bad for the boy who was standing right there being labeled as a loser. I told the father, let's see how big we can let your son be this weekend. During the seminar, I addressed the young man as a worthy, capable guy. And that is how he responded. By the end of the program, he was a star of the seminar, and everyone fell in love with him. At the conclusion, he gave an extraordinary, inspiring talk about how great it felt to be regarded as good. Take care of how you see people, for the one you see is the one you will get. Our consciousness is creative. And it not only affects our life, it affects everyone around us and how they respond to us and how they respond in our presence and even when they're not in our presence because we are all part of this collective consciousness. Our consciousness affects the whole. And so we are all called then to remember that the infinite is at the center of everything. That infinite one is at the center of all that it is in the midst of every seeming problem that we have. That means that all the love, all the intelligence, all the harmony, all the peace and the wholeness and the power, all of the creative intelligence is present in every single moment. It is present in every single situation. It is present within me. It is present with every person that is involved in whatever your issue is. That one is everywhere present, equally present at all times. Here and now. That one is at the center of you, and it is at the center of me, and it is at the center of every person of Congress, and it is at the center of every legislator, and it is at the center of your spouse that you are fighting with. It is at the center of your neighbor. That presence is everywhere present in its fullness. Take that in. It's like a hologram. If you took a hologram of a rose and you cut it in two pieces, you'd have two full roses. If you cut it in four, you'd have four. If you cut it in six or 100, that's how many full roses you'd have. You wouldn't have the leaves in one and the stem in another and the thorns in another. You'd have the whole thing. That's how the infinite is. All of it is present everywhere in at the center of everything. And so we're called to remember that when we're experiencing strife or discomfort about something that's going on in our life, when something doesn't match our preferences. All of the divine present in every situation, in every person, in every moment. Knowing that opens us to it. That's what we talk about when we read our vision statement. Knowing that it's present opens us to it. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, says, "The only barrier between us and our greater good are things of thought." Because our thought is the creative factor. And so knowing that that presence in its fullness is right here in the midst of this opens us up to healing. Healing of body, healing of emotions, healing of relationships, healing of the world. Knowing that. And so the title of my talk today is Free to a Good Home. And what I'm talking about is that we live in that field of infinite possibility. And that all good is available to us when we recognize that it is available. It becomes active in our life and in the world when we recognize that it is active. And it becomes active in the world in our thinking and in our minds and in our contemplation and in our embodying that belief when we make room for it inside of us. When we create home for it inside of us. All the good is free to us when we make a good home for it inside of us. So we have to do the inner work first in order for the outer to change. And so we do things like affirmative prayer and spiritual mind treatment. We do things like contemplating, sitting in the quiet and contemplating that that presence is at the center of your situation, at the center of that person who you think is not of God. We meditate and we visualize and we see it and we feel it and we make it real inside of here. That's how we change our consciousness. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, "There is a place in the mentality, in the heights of its greatest realization, where it throws itself with complete abandonment into the very center of the universe. There is a point in the supreme moment of realization where the individual merges with the universe, where a sense of oneness of all life so enters his being that there is no otherness. It is here that the mentality performs seeming miracles, because there is nothing to hinder the whole from coming through." We allow ourselves to live in that experience of oneness, and we allow the whole to come flowing through because we've created the opening for it. And so in our contemplation and in our communion, we make room for that one to come in and to come through us into the world. And because we are part of the collective consciousness, because we are part of the one mind of God, when we make ourselves available to it and allow it to come in, it becomes present everywhere also because there's only one. It becomes active everywhere because there's only one. And so we are called to know then that we live in infinite possibility. We are called to make home within ourselves for that realization and that truth to live. We are called to make room in ourselves for that belief to take roots and then to grow. We are called to know that in the midst of any difficulty and any seeming obstacle and any seeming impasse, infinite potential is here also. This, too, is permeated with infinite intelligence. This, too, is permeated by absolute love. This, too, is permeated with harmony and oneness. Divine intelligence. And so another story by Alan Cohen. He says, in 1949, Popular Mechanics printed an article describing a hypothetical computer 50 years down the road. A leading-edge expert at the time predicted, computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons. Is that hysterical? The end of the 20th century has come and gone, and laptop computers have shrunk to 3 pounds and less, not to mention smaller PDAs and a universe of tiny computers orchestrating household, office, auto, and industrial gadgets. The computer expert's size and weight prediction had underestimated the miniaturization of the technology by a fact of 600. If you consider Palm Pilots, he was off by a factor of 5,000. So even the biggest thinker of the time had no idea how advanced the industry would become. As you envision the future and all of your life to come, consider that the good that arrives may be 600 or 5,000 times bigger than what you can imagine. The vision of your life, you see, through the lens of history, is always smaller than your true destiny. In the Bible, we are told that Abraham set out on his spiritual journey. God bade him, lift up your eyes. Abraham was being guided to let go of his normal, limited vision based on past events and to see the greater expanse of possibilities. Believe in your future. Believe that your future will be even better than you can imagine, and you open the door for it to be so. You create an opening in your consciousness for infinite possibility to express itself in that particular situation that you are holding on to. And so living in a realm of infinite possibilities is different than living in a realm of infinite possibility. Because knowing there are infinite possibilities, say, I can have peach pie or strawberry pie or cherry pie. You're choosing from the possibilities that already exist. I could go on vacation to Hawaii or to Greece or to Las Vegas, or don't go on vacation at all. You're choosing from the possibilities. But when you're living in the realm of possibility, it means that it is probable and possible, and it is capable of something you can't even imagine unfolding here. Living in possibility isn't positive thinking, and it's not being in denial about what's happening. You're not denying that this is happening in the world right now. You know, living in that denial or in positive thinking might look something like, I know that I'm sick, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm only going to focus on health, and I'm not going to pay attention to any of my symptoms, and I'm going to hope that I get better. That absolutely is a movement in the correct direction, but it's not enough. Positive thinking steps us closer, but it's not enough. And I'm not talking even about hope, because hope is grounded in wishes. It's not grounded in truth, and it's not grounded in principle, like I wish my spouse would quit drinking, or I wish I'd win the lottery. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being grounded in the truth that infinite potential is everywhere present in this moment. in every moment. In that recognition, what we're doing is recognizing that there is an infinite potential and infinite possibility back of and within everything. That's what we call God. That power and that potential, that intelligence permeates everything. That power and that presence of infinite creativity is here in this now. Knowing that within the seeming obstacle and problem that there is a solution opens us up to a solution happening. I love this quote. Dr. David Schwartz says, believing there is a solution paves the way to the solution because it opens us to the possibility. We create the opening. Ernest Holmes says, the truth, with a capital T, that we announce is superior to the condition we are about to change. In such degree as we speak the truth, the Almighty has spoken. When I say infinite potential exists here, the Almighty through me has spoken something into creation. When I say infinite love is here, when I say absolute harmony is at the center of this situation, I am speaking a word of power that is the truth, and that's how manifestation happens. And as a result of doing that, we become a healing presence in the world. We become that beneficial presence that we're talking about just through our consciousness. So my invitation to you is every single time something in your world is out of alignment with your preferences, when something is out of alignment with the good, to affirm that infinite possibility exists here. That thing that's frustrating, it exists here. Here, now, in the midst of this. Infinite intelligence, absolute love, infinite creativity is expressing and unfolding in this situation and through this situation and as this situation. And so I'd like to close with something out of the Science of Mind textbook. He says, never limit your view of life by any past experience. The possibility of life is inherent within the capacity to imagine what life is, backed by the power to make this imagery. Here you go. It's not a question of failing or succeeding. It is simply a question of sticking to an idea until it becomes a tangible reality. You stick to the truth even when you can't see it. You stick to the truth that the infinite potential of the universe is here in this now until it becomes your manifest reality. That's my invitation to you this day and this week and every day as you walk in this world, to be the presence that allows healing to come through, that allows transformation to come through, to be a beneficial presence on this planet, not just through your actions and through your words, but through your consciousness. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of awakening and stepping into the truth of who you are and to being that place of light on this world. Thank all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention and we take our energy and we take our focus and we turn it to that infinite one, that infinite possibility, that presence and that power and that one and that life that is none other than this presence of God, this presence of the infinite, this presence that is not bound by anything that is happening in this world. We turn our attention to that infinite potential, to that love intelligence, to that life force, recognizing that this is the only power there is. This is the only presence there is. This is the only one that there is that is back of everything, that is in and through everything, that permeates everything. Before time began was this one, and into infinity is this one expressing itself and unfolding and shedding its light and its love and its peace and its wholeness and its power and its good into this world as creation. And so I recognize that I am one with this presence, as is each and every single person in this room, is as each and every person in this world, even the ones where I don't see it. That presence lives at the center of them. And that presence expresses at the center of everything that is going on in this world. And so it is in our recognition of that good and of that love and of the truth of oneness, of the truth of opulence, of the truth of endless possibility, that we make room for it in ourselves, and therefore we make room for it in this world. We see it and we call it forward, allowing it to unfold in a greater way, in a fuller way, in a more profound way, and healing is taking place all around us. For I know that not just are we open in this room, but there are millions of people in this world, billions of people who are open and who are receptive. And so that light is flooding in now and filling everything with its beingness. And so I claim healing, and I claim revealing, and I claim knowing, and I claim harmony and good in this world for all. And so it is with that I release this word into that infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is taken a hold of and it is unfolding even now, in this moment and every moment, because we have recognized it as such. And so we hold our vision there, and we know this to be the truth. And so I release this prayer, and I say, thank you, God. And so it is.